The Saturday Morning is Sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
So good.
It's scary.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
I played under Ross Lyon. Boring football was what we did.
Triple M footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
You're making this about yourself, Joey.
And to keep these two in check, Fox Footy, Sarah Ollie.
Jay, you're a bit fidgety over there. Are you trying to work off that skinny milk already?
Oh.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. Good morning, Joseph.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you, Sarah. Morning, Jay. You're all dressed up today, Sarah. How come you're dressed up? Are you going
out? Well, it's not for you. I do have a lunch after this. So, yes, just going to slither on down to Elsternwick Park, which will be a bit of fun. But you've got a pep in your step this morning, Joe. Why is that?
Yeah, so I'm having a little date night this afternoon or this evening with my wife too. Noah's having his first night away from home. He's staying at mum and dad's tonight. So we've got a few close friends, some couples. We're going to Caulfield Racecourse. There's a whiskey and fire festival on. So a bit of entertainment and catching up with some friends and having a night away from little Noah. So very
romantic, exciting.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Sarah, what are you going to say you're going to do down to lunch? You're going to
slither on down.
Nice one. What about you, Jay? You're going away, actually. When are you going away?
Going away Tuesday. Canada, 10 days there for my sister's wedding, gang. So I
10 days?
Before you go away, you sort of needs all the travel bits and pieces, don't you? And you go to the airport.
Checklist, tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, and they normally sting you like $50 for earphones or like your neck pillow or whatever. So I went down to the reject shop yesterday. I got all those bits and pieces, some compression socks. I got the little towel that I need. I got all those kind of for about $40 and I'm a happy man. Because when you go, you got to be prepared. You go to the airport and you get all the Kojo stuff. It's expensive stuff, some of those bits and pieces. So
the reject store.
Yeah, I went there and got it all for about $35.
You'd be right. Business class, you get all that stuff given to you. Aren't you going business?
I'm a humble Herald Sun journalist. I'll be right down the back of that plane, that's for sure.
And no kids, Jay?
No kids. So 10 days. Yeah, so I'll miss my family dearly, fair to say. But looking forward to getting over there to Vancouver.
You need a break too because you work very hard.
I do work.
You bob up everywhere, so you need some time off.
I'm looking forward to that, mate. Nice. Should be absolutely lovely.
Well, a massive show coming up. We're going to discuss Essendon's big win over at Adelaide Oval, and also we'll speak to Zach Merritt, who was on fire last night, Joey.
So
that'll be great to speak to him. And later in the program, we're going to have a very funny chat with the Western Bulldogs ex-property steward Dan Fisher. It's going to be a bit related
give
to last
little,
night. Something happened
taste.
Last night. Well, did you see Brodie Smith last night?
Yeah.
What was going on with his jumper, Jay?
Not wearing the right one.
Yeah.
Did he forget it or?
Well, I'm not sure if he forgot it. I think someone else may have been left a little bit red-faced, as was our guest.
It's a fair-sized blue if you forget to bring a couple of jumpers.
A player's jumper. It's fair to say.
Charlie would have blown her up.
We don't want to start bagging the property stewards, but one job is
you
probably
have.
To bring the player's footy jumper. But we'll chat about that in the next hour.
Can you imagine the death stare Joey would have given you if the St Kilda property steward didn't bring you shorts, etc. A little man with a big death stare.
Mind you, Brodie Smith played very well, so maybe it's a good little one for him to keep wearing.
And this is going to be some final quarter. Quick hand pass to Merritt outside the boots.
Essendon are in front for the first time tonight.
Brodie Smith kicks a goal.
Greenwood to give the Crows a 2-point lead and kicks it.
Jake Stringer steps up to give the Bombers a lead back and he slots it home.
Goal for goal here in the last quarter.
Mitch Brown, 4 goals. Essendon out by 10 points.
Heppel, the skipper, back in the side. Loves it, Dyson Heppel. Zach Merritt runs to open space, kicks it from 70. It'll bounce, Merritt. It'll bounce. Is it going to cross the line? It has! This will be a famous win for a team that was 30 points down halfway through the second term.
What a last quarter and what a second half it was from the Bombers. They got up by 21 points over the Crows and it was a huge 50-point turnaround, Joey. Their season is well and truly alive.
Well and truly, they're in the finals. They will play finals this year, the Bombers, so all credit to them. I mean, 6-1 in their last 7 games. They are the hottest team in the competition. I don't think we saw it coming. We knew they had the talent, but they weren't playing great footy in the first half of the year. But that was a remarkable turnaround. And you must say, it was during the second quarter, it looked like it was going to script. Adelaide were all over them. They probably kept Essendon in the game, missing a few goals. And the Bombers just hung in there and turned it around. Their midfield were awesome. Their forwards, you know, with a bit of a makeshift forward line because McKernan playing ruck and no Fantasia were excellent. And great win, famous win. And that's the fourth good Friday night game in a row we've had, actually. It's the fourth upset in a row. So we're being treated. It was early in the year. I remember we spoke about Friday Night Footy was pretty ordinary for a while. And the last 4 weeks, we obviously had Collingwood beat West Coast by that 1 point last week. Hawthorne defeated the Pies a couple of Friday nights ago in an upset. And then, of course, Essendon beat the Giants on a Thursday night, a game a few weeks ago. So it's been some great footy, and the Bombers treated us to a beauty.
I wonder whether this is, and Essendon fans can rejoice here, I wonder whether this is Essendon's best win under John Worsfold. So they're on the road, they're 30 points down, there's no Fantasia, they don't have a ruckman, and they turn the tide. And that's with a captain who's playing on one leg. Like, Dyson Heppel is week to week now with that foot injury for the rest of the season. So I thought this was an extraordinary performance. And you look at their run home now, Gold Coast, they beat them. Port Adelaide, you have to say they beat them. Western Bulldogs, 50-50, maybe. They got Fremantle, and then Collingwood to finish. There are a top four chance, Essendon. But the question is, and this is, I've been thinking about this all morning. You guys answer this for me. Mm-hmm. Identity check on Essendon. Is that where they should be? Is their list that good? Is that their benchmark and they've been underperforming all year? Or is this a bit of an outlier? Because I would have thought at the start of the season, you look at their list, and this is the kind of the footy they're capable of. I sort of think, where's this been? If you know what I mean. Like, that it's extraordinary that they haven't won a final in whatever, 5,000 days or whatever it is. Like, I look at that list, Joey, and I just think this is the standard that Essendon should be playing to. All credit to John Worsfold. Where has this been, mate?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because every team has got their peak of their performance and then they've got their troughs. And Essendon's, yeah, their peak is very, very good. We knew that because of their talent. Do they do it often enough has been the big question. Well, now they've strung it together for 7 weeks. The issue is, will that continue through the last 5 weeks of the year and then another 4 week final campaign to get to a grand final? I'm still not sure. I mean, you see their best, but they haven't shown that they can do it for long enough. Although this is a 7 week period, so they're hot now. But as we've seen with every team in the comp, and we're talking about whether it's Geelong, Richmond, West Coast, all the best teams, you can't sustain it for a whole season. Yep. You go through peaks and troughs. Essendon had their trough early in the year and they've slowly built. And I think they're going the right way. The question is, can they sustain it? I'm not sure. And also their style still a little bit is a question mark. I mean, even last night, Dom Pike said all of Essendon's goals after halftime came from their back 50. They just transitioned, broke it open. And there's a little bit, and there's a bit of a theme with Essendon. If you still want to look for some to pick them apart a little bit, they do seem to play better in the second halves when they have to score. When the shackles are released, they have to take risks and run and through the corridor. But when it's a tight, tough, you know, game, they've shown they can hang in there, but their style still is opening them up from the back half. And I don't know in finals if you get that luxury.
So 79 of Essendon's 96 points were generated from the back half.
Yeah, which is too much if you want to play finals footy, because you're not going to score against the really strong teams defensively.
What does that say about the Crows' pressure though?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the Crows are. I mean, they're actually been one of the better defensive teams, particularly in the first half of the year. They were really strong defensively. The Crows' issue was their scoring ability, which is still the case, but they just got opened up completely. They were the oldest team in the competition last night. We've spoken about their midfield. The reason why Bryce Gibbs probably can't get a game is they are a bit one-paced through the middle of the ground. That's why they've been trying to use Wayne Miller and Brody Smith in different roles, because they know they lack leg speed. And Essendon just broke them open with their leg speed and their skill level last night. And big question marks on the Crows. I'm not sure where they're at. They've still got a pretty good run home too, Jay. So they can still make finals, Adelaide, but they're just an okay team.
From an Essendon perspective, you take your hat off to Mitch Brown. I mean, wasn't he? He got discarded by Geelong. He was on the AFL scrap heap. He was outstanding last night. Centre half forward, I think, kicked 4 goals. And hooker forward. So yes, there was no Hurley, but hooker forward, I just wonder whether that's got a... whether you got to keep that there, you know, like he's the best mark in the team. He looked really strong last night. And when they get those blokes around him, Stringer, etc., man, I just wonder, Joey, is that the blueprint?
There's an opportunity there to mix up their team a bit, because they do have Ambrose back in the side, who's a terrific lockdown defender.
Hurley.
Aaron Francis is better as a defender. I'm talking about without Hurley.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play, Aaron Francis is much better as a defender than a forward. And they've got Hartley. So they actually can manipulate their side if they want to throw hooker as a permanent forward. We know about their, you know, through the middle of the ground and the peripheries, they've got some wonderful talent.
Yep.
They're going really well, the Bombers.
And so next week it looks like they'll get Fantasia back in. We know how good he
is. Massive.
Zach Clark helps out in the ruck. Jaden Laverty as well. And potentially, we know that Hurley's going to be missing and Heppel will sort of wait on a week-to-week basis. So Fantasia to come back in that side. Remember next year they've got Danaher if he can get his groin right. So there is still real upside for us.
Forget about Joey's missing. Yeah.
Oh, Joey.
So, and Tommy Bellchambers, if he can get back for finals, he's an important player. He's really good around the club. So, no, well done. All credit to the Bombers. Huge win. And they'll be playing finals. It's now, as you said, Jay, a matter of how high on the ladder They can finish.
Well, they're sixth spot at the moment, the Bombers. Yep. So I guess it's just those two spots. Can they climb into fourth?
One game outside of the eight. Where, if they were to play a home final, Joey, just quickly, do you think they'd rather play at Marvel or MCG? Where do they?
I think it suits Essendon's style to play at Marvel. Yeah, no doubt.
Yep. Where will they play, though?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah,
they can't play a final. Essendon in a final, it has to be the MCG. They'd get 80,000 no matter who they're playing in a final.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, Jay, a bit of footy news floating about. Where would you like to start this morning?
I'll tell you what, this pick swap between Carlton and Adelaide is intrigue. Was anyone cheering the Bombers home harder than Stephen Silvani last night? I reckon he would have jumped off his couch, it's fair to say. Now, as things stand right now,
the gap is narrowing.
Oh, my goodness. There is a dog's breath in it. So it's a couple of 100 points in terms of the draft value index points. But roughly, so Carlton got pick 19 last year to get Liam Stocker, right? Which is already worth X amount of points. But basically, at the moment, it's sort of pick 2, pick 3, 4, pick 10. But all eyes at the MCG on Saturday when Carlton play Adelaide. Not only can Carlton boot Adelaide out of the eight, it really can reduce this swap to basically zero difference in the Liam Stocker sort of pick swap from last year. So all year, I think we've been saying, how stupid, Carlton? How did they give up a top two pick for Liam Stocker with the Crows last year? Well, as things stand, it is not much in at all. And if the Blues beat the Crows next week, then Stephen Silvani will be waltzing down Chapel Street like the happiest man on the planet. In fact, it's probably going to be Wygon Street. So this is really going to turn.
And as the talk is with this year's draft, besides the top three, it's very even after that. So whether it is pick, the difference between pick 5 and pick 8 or whatever it is, it's not really going to make much of a difference on what player you get. So it's very fascinating, Carlton, but if they actually might jump up and move outside those top three. So the Crows are going to miss out. All year we've been talking about the Crows getting either one of the big three, who everyone knows about, Noah Anderson, Raoul, or Young, Hayden Young, who are the three standouts.
Yep.
And now Carlton might finish outside the bottom three of the ladder, and the Crows miss out altogether. Plus they gave up two first-round picks, remember, Adelaide to Carlton for Bryce Gibbs.
That's right.
Which hasn't worked out.
So Carlton can go, they play Gold Coast, you think they win that.
Yep.
Melbourne got West Coast, they're third last. They probably lose that. We're tipping West Coast, so they can jump up again. And now if Gold Coast gets a compensation pick in the top three, well, that's when Adelaide will really blow up. So intriguing, Sarah, intriguing. But Soss is waking up this morning with a pep in his step.
And I've spoken to some Carlton fans, Jay, that are talking about all their youngsters, and we're talking about Dow and Lockie O'Brien. They think, some of them think Liam Stocker looks the most likely out of all of them. In those games he played at half back, he looked composed, he looked good. Carlton fans I spoke to like Liam Stocker, so they might have ended up, they might come out on top in this
Speaking of the Blues, Mitch McGovern, Jay, he's having a bit of a tough time. Not fit enough. What's going on?
Yeah, so he's facing a couple of weeks out of the team, out of the VFL team and the AFL team to basically get fit. So this is, he has had some injuries, which meant he started behind the eight ball. And interesting yesterday that interim coach David Teague said they contributed to the problems by probably playing him too early. So the Blues have stuck their hand up here. But really, just like Jeremy McGovern was banished to the waffle back in 2015, first preseason under Adam Simpson was asked to lose 10 kilos and did so. This is a really important time for Mitch McGovern because it's about standards, about training habits, about professionalism and getting in shape and staying in shape in the off season. So this is a reality check for him to ahead of that 8 week break to really stay in shape so he can have a good crack at next preseason. And you know what? I love this stand from Carlton. It's really raising the benchmark, I believe, Joey.
Professionalism, absolutely. Yep. I was going to ask, I was hoping whether it was he's just got out of condition because of, say, injury and continuity with training, or is it more of an attitude issue and professionalism? Because that's really disappointing for a player who demanded to leave Adelaide, took a big paid deal to go to Carlton, to then present in that shape, whether it's his fault entirely or not. Obviously, there's some issues there. But, that's really disappointing for a player to do that. I'd be disappointed if I was a teammate to know that he came to that club on good money and hasn't quite put in the professionalism and the attitude to get himself to a high level.
Well, you know what it's like, Joey. When you get a new player to your club,
you'd think they do everything they can to impress their new team and their playing group.
And you look around, don't you? Like when a new bloke, you sort of assess all those things, don't you?
Yep.
So, look, it worked for Jeremy, and Carlton very confident that this will work with Mitch because he's got great hands. He can be a really impactful player. But I think after sort of a bit of a middling career at Adelaide, we know he can take a great grab. It's time for him to take the next level, and that begins with his preparation.
Especially when he's on such big money. Now, over in the West, Jay, Jesse Hogan, his season is now over. Another navicular problem. It's not great great news for him because we know these kind of injuries, they can really cut careers short.
You think of Matty Egan, yep. the Geelong centre half-back, and when that ended his career back in, what was it, 2010, 2011. Look, this is a shocking development. Initially, Fremantle said that this was a midfoot sprain. More specialists, more consulting, more scans reveals that it is a navicular issue. So his season is over. It looks like they're going to try and get him back for round one next season. But you had two of these navicular issues. It's a big watch. And what people will do, will go back to that Melbourne game where he went back out into the field with that foot problem. And you'll, as a football club, and Ross Lyon and his football department will real stringently assess that decision. Because I don't think you want to be sending players back out in the field if they've got navicular issues. So they'll go back and have a look at that and see if they did the right thing or not.
And how about Nick Nat? That's also one to watch.
Yeah, we could be done for the season. As they've been saying, it's ankle syndesmosis. He played incredibly well when he was out there, but really unfortunate for him.
But they are going to avoid surgery and try and see if they can get him right for the finals. So they're going to try that path. Which yeah.
Was he rushed back though, Joe?
No, I don't think he was rushed back, was he?
Because knee,
he was, he was ready to play. He, apparently, he'd been training for weeks
and
weeks.
So this is just bad luck.
It's just bad luck. Yeah, it is bad luck. It's just unfortunate. Yeah.
I think Mark Murphy, when he didn't have surgery, he missed months and months. Yeah. So it'd be interesting.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard. The Women's Ashes is on over in England. Our Aussie girls taking on the English, and the Aussies are 5 for 341 after play was abandoned on day two with rain. No surprise, Elise Perry, she made 116 of 280 balls. Rachel Haynes made 87, and Alyssa Healy also made a 50. Jade, ask the question, where does Elise Perry sit in one of our greatest athletes at the moment as Australian athletes? Because it seems to me, and Sarah and I were chatting, that you could almost argue three of our top five Australian athletes are females, with Ash Barty, Sam Kerr. Elise Perry has to be one of our
She's
best athletes.
There.
What do you reckon, Sarah?
Yeah, I think it's all about the gals at the moment. Yep. Yeah, the girls. They're all doing us very proud. And Elise Perry, she's just unstoppable at the moment with ball and bat in hand. So great to see the Aussie girls doing a very good job over there.
The Tour de France is still going on. I know you've been sitting up watching that, Jay, at night. Julian Alaphilippe leads Geraint Thomas in the general classification. Richie Porte, the Australian who we thought was a chance, sits 15th overall, unfortunately. And then, of course, the Netball World Cup, the semi-final, Australia-South Africa, is on tonight on 9 Go at 8 o'clock. And, of course, we will play either England or New Zealand in the final. We beat New Zealand by one goal yesterday. So that's going to be another beauty, Sarah.
It's starting
to heat
up.
Going for their fourth World Cup in a row, the Aussie girls.
Because last week, I think we were talking about them beating Malawi or another country like that by 60 points. So now it's the business end of the tournament, Joe. And wouldn't it be great if the Aussie girls, again, over there in England, could get up because they're playing beautifully over there.
Absolutely.
Have you ever played netball, Joe?
No, not really. Oh, I think I did in primary school. I remember playing some mixed netball.
Yeah, you'd be like a tenacious little wing attack, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yeah. How about you, Jay?
Yes, I've had a long and storied mixed netball career. Best on in the grand final, I think, from a...
Is that right?
No, I was a very poor netballer. My wife's the gun netballer. Hey, how's this story from Sammy Edmund in the Herald Sun today? So he's off doing the Tour de France over there, and he said that Australian Rowan Dennis has thrown his immediate cycling future into uncertainty after sensationally quitting the Tour de France. Now, that's a great first paragraph, but it's the third one paragraph where my eyes really pop out of my head. It's understood Dennis was upset over the quality or brand of skin suit he would wear in the individual time trial overnight in which he's the current world champion. So he's he's cracked his sads
precious.
Over the material of his skin suit. Now, the cyclists take their gear very seriously, don't they? And, that's very interesting. He says he's also unhappy with his time trial bike all season and was intense conversations with team staff before the start of stage 12. Now, this looks a fair old dummy spit to me.
I was thinking Bernie Tomic style. To quit the Tour, to abandon the Tour de France because you weren't happy with your times or your bikes or your gear. Come on.
This is where let's test our producer here, Rudy, if we can get to Australian cyclist Rowan Dennis just to tell us about how unhappy he is with the quality of his skin suit.
Skin suit.
That's what they call them.
There you go.
I'm just not a fan of Lycra in general. It's just not a good look, is it, Joe?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. Especially, not many can pull it off.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. All right. Now, if you were watching the footy last night and you were looking closely, you may have been thinking, what is Brody Smith doing getting around in Richard Douglas's number? He was wearing the number 26, not the number 33. It appears the jumper was left behind, Joey, as you said.
That's a boo-boo.
You had one job. Well,
although, to be fair, Brody Smith probably played one of his best games. He kicked 3 goals, had 31 touches. The issue, and we know a lot of footballers are superstitious, does he go back next week and says to the property steward, can I please wear 26 again?
Well, we thought we'd actually talk to a property steward and see how this may have happened. And we've got Dan Fisher on the line, who used to be the West Bulldogs property steward. Dan, thank you for joining us. We believe you've got a similar story to tell.
Oh, I'd like to think it's happened to everyone at some stage.
So tell us about your experience. It was round 7, 2009, and the Dogs are taking on the Crows.
Yeah, and I was 7 games into the jump. I started that season and things went pretty well for the first 6 rounds. But yeah, we had an interstate game at Football Park, and got there the day before, sort of unpacked everything into the rooms and all that. But then when we got there on game day, I was sort of unpacking all of the cases and sort of putting everyone sort of uniform out in front of their locker. I was like, oh, geez, some of the socks are missing. And I'm looking at some other cases, and so what happened, I packed a bunch of new socks, and there was also a bag of sort of used socks that didn't make it because a lot of players prefer to wear used socks as well. So I've sort of left half of the lot back home. It was a bit of a panic as we're sort of unpacking everything. It was pretty clear that, like, they weren't here. To make matters a little bit worse, we were wearing like our white away kit as well, so they're not even for like a common sock. It was a Sunday morning game, like a sort of a 1:10 kickoff.
Yep.
And nothing is open in Adelaide on a Sunday morning.
So how's your heart rate at this stage, Dan? Now just tell us about the fear and panic, knowing that you've probably got half a team's worth of
and
socks.
And who were you most scared of? Like, what was the fear? Who were you worried to get in trouble from?
I was probably most concerned.
Was it Rocket Eade, the coach at the time? Was it Rocket Eade coaching at the time?
Yeah, it was Rocket. Rocket came pretty quickly to mind. And so did Matthew Boyd as well, actually. Because he'd be pretty intense on game day. So they'll probably be the two that came straight to mind. The heart rate was pretty high. But there was also a fair bit of adrenaline kicking in as well because, hang on, we've got a problem that we've got to solve here. I was 3 pairs short, which is a little bit lucky because usually when I pack the new socks, I'm sort of only chucking about 10 or 12 of those in. But I don't know, we had 19 that day for whatever reason. I chucked in. So
what'd you do?
I was running around like mad over at Westlake Shopping Centre. So I've left the ground. We're over at Westlake Shopping Centre, out the front of their AFL store. They don't open until it was something like 40 minutes before the game was going to start. It's no good because the players are already going to be dressed and stuff. 1% chance they would have had a Bulldogs away socks anyway. In a bit of a panic, there was like this little stall that was open in the middle that just sold normal socks. I just got some like plain white long socks and like, I don't know what the end game was there. I just got some. Someone has to wear some just plain white socks. If they push them down, maybe no one will notice. they would have. I was starting to get pretty nervous about what's the conversation? Who am I going to have to sort of quietly go up to and say, oi, do you mind wearing these socks today? Bit out of the ordinary. We thought about calling like Central Districts Football Club. I don't think we could get onto anyone there because they're also the Dogs over in SA, and thought they might have something that at least looks close enough.
Yep.
But we struck out there. In the end, it was kind of the moment that I was hoping we didn't have to get to, is we sort of have to tell the playing group that something's on. There's an off chance that the odd player might have some in their bag. So Brian Lake put his hand up and said, I pinched him a couple of years ago and gave it to a mate because he's an FA boy. And he rang his mate, and his mate wasn't planning on coming to the game. He's like, I can be there as soon as I can get there and all that sort of thing. But he only had like 1 or 2 pairs. We're still a little bit short. They get to the ground. Dale Morris checks in his bag, the ever-dependable Dale Morris, and he had 3 pairs of away socks in his kit. So
3 pairs of the ultimate professional. Had 3 pairs of socks just in case.
We're speaking to Dan Fisher. He's the Western Bulldogs ex-property steward, and he's just touching on an experience he had back in 2009. Just seven games into the job, Dan, and you've forgotten the socks, but you're telling us it all worked out.
Oh, look, it all worked out, mostly through good fortune and good planning, obviously. But, you know, I mean, these days I've moved into recruiting and list management, and, you know, Dale Morris is a little bit of a sort of a Tony Gregg Channel 9 sort of relationship going on. Job for life sort of thing.
Dan, you are really the recruiting genius too behind the Western Bulldogs. And in particular, as I've been saying for some months, the man who found Josh Dunkley, it's fair to say. So you graduated from the property steward position to basically the chief recruiter at the Western Bulldogs. Is this right?
Oh, I think that's overplaying things. Just like to play my role in the background and contribute to a team effort.
Thank you very much, Dan, for joining us, and best of luck for the weekend.
Well done, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Not uncommon. There's always players that when we play at the state games always forget something. I forgot my boots one time going
at
the state. Yeah, how can you think that? I got to the interstate, forgotten my boots. Lucky we fly a day before a game. Didn't have any for the captain's run. But luckily, sometimes our doctors and medicos fly on game day, so they fly on the Sunday morning. So I had to do a favour and ask old Dr. Stone to drive to Seaford, grab my boots for me out of my boot room and bring them to the game. So it can happen.
Were you superstitious about what you wore?
Not too bad. I wasn't too bad. I used to bring my own socks and shorts, though. I didn't rely on the property steward because I just liked having the same pair every week. So I used to wash and bring my own.
And Lipper forgot his for the grand final, didn't he, in 2016? Didn't he forget his boots?
Oh, it sounds like something he would do. Didn't affect him, though, did it, Joe?
He hit a century that day.
Anyway, Brody Smith worked for him, and he had one hell of a game.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Got heaps to come still in this second hour. We're going to speak to Zach Merritt. And also, we've got a chance for you and five mates to win tickets to the Monster Jam at Amy Park in the corporate box. Food and drinks included. Joey, that would be a pretty big night out in the town.
No, I was probably a bit young to go to Monster Jam. What about your kids?
This is right up my son Fletcher's alley.
He's
five. Yeah. He's sort of monster truck. Like, he goes bananas for this sort of stuff. So we are definitely going. This is going to be a great night.
Nice.
Speaking of being up your son's Ali, I just saw The Lion King, Jay.
Yep.
Would you take your kids along to that?
Yeah, so what is it? It's not the cartoon. It's like real animal version, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the CGI kind of imagery. It's beautiful. It's stunning. But it is very different to the original because you lose a bit of that emotion in the faces. But, oh, God, I was still crying like a baby when Mufasa dies. So, very emotional,
Jay. So
is it
the exact same storyline? It's basically the Lion King remake?
Yes, they don't depart from the storyline. Yeah, they couldn't because imagine the backlash.
Yeah, true.
So is it real lions or – hang on.
Well, it's the CGI. I don't think – I mean –
it's a computer animation, is it?
Yeah, but it looks very real.
Right.
Yeah. But I recommend it.
You're not sure if it's a real lion or not.
The music's amazing.
Hang on, are they real or not? The lions.
Well, I think it's a combination of Joey, I don't know.
Can I ask? Do they make them smile or frown or like you know all those things that happen in the Lion King, the original, the cartoon? They clearly can't make the real lions.
No, so emotion,
there's no facial expressions in them.
It does get a little bit lost, and sometimes it's a little bit darker. In fact, because you can't get that emotion, but the music is still there. The music's amazing, and the actual images of the savannas and everything
that
like that is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely recommend The Lion King for everyone listening out there. I can't confirm if the lions are real or not, but
1-3-3-5-3. If you can tell us whether the lions are real,
generator, or are they real?
Yeah. Hakuna Matata, Joe. Whatever.
I'll tell you what, if they're computer animated, they're pretty good because Sarah's not sure, so that must be pretty good.
Oh, I only had one Pinot, but that's fine. All right, now Essendon, they are on the move at the moment. A 21-point win over Adelaide last night, and someone who was front and centre and really pivotal in the victory was Zach Merritt. He's on the line. Zach, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Thanks for being here. What happened last night? What clicked? Because all of a sudden you guys got on a run.
Yeah, I think I sort of felt like in the first half our tackle pressure was still reasonably good. I think the tackle numbers supported that at half time, but we're a bit sloppy with the ball and with our hands around the contest, and that sort of played into their hands. So we felt like if we kept that pressure up around the second half, it was going to turn at some point.
Zachy, I said off the top, mate, I thought this was one of your best wins under Woosha. No Michael Hurley, no Orazio Fantasia. Dyson Heppel, very gutsy performance with that sore foot of his. To come back from 30 points down after the game, you know, some wins are more special than others, aren't they? And with your situation, the adversity you're facing, did it have that feeling after the match for you guys?
Yeah, I guess it did. I mean, obviously when you have injuries to key players, every team goes through it, but to do it on the road against Adelaide, they were going pretty well as well. It was a special feeling, and to get four in a row for the first time in probably 5 or 6 years was also a great step forward for us. And everyone's obviously behind John and loving the work he's doing with us as well.
Well, that's interesting, Zach, because, I mean, you would have turned on the radio throughout the first half of the season and everyone was saying that the senior coach was under real pressure. Can you tell us about the impact of Woosher against some moves last night and your past month? I mean, you've been one of the form teams in the competition. How much are you behind this man?
Yeah, personally, I'm a massive supporter of Woosher. I know the boys are, and it's really just to be calm and consistent in all situations. It's something that we thrive on. At halftime, we walked in a little bit obviously nervous and a bit disappointed with how we played in that first half. And he was able just to be really calm and clear around how we wanted to play the second half and got us back on track, which was awesome.
Zachy, I want to go a little bit left field. I want to ask you, you've got such a wonderful team out there, and I'm just watching the replay on the Fox Footy screen in the studios here. Who is your favourite player that you love playing with out on the field? Who's someone that when you're in the rooms before the game, you look around, you go, I love playing with this bloke, or a couple of blokes that are your favourites in the team?
Yeah, probably my two favourites, probably Paddy Ambrose and Dylan Clark. I mean, I've loved playing with Paddy since I got to the club. He's someone who you just trusted to play his role. I thought he was really good on Tex early and then obviously switched to Jenkins at halftime and I thought did a really good job on him as well. So he's probably my favourite teammate to play with. You just know what you're going to get. As you said before the game, you look into his eyes and you know what you're going to get. And then Dylan Clark as well has been awesome the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks. And again, just someone who plays his role and is really selfless team player.
Probably not who I was thinking he was going with, Jay. I was thinking maybe Tippin Woody or Jake Stringer or Dylan Shield, but he went, see, that's what good teams yes. do. He knows the importance of blokes like Dylan Clark and Paddy Ambrose.
Now, Zachy, I'm a massive fan of your man, Connor McKenna. I'm number one fan club of this man, the speed and run. Or you broke him open last night with that pace off halfback in particular. I think you need to have a chat to Connor and just say these solos, like, it's a fascinating move from the great man. What is happening? What's going on inside his mind when he just sort of puts it on his boot and does that, because it is interesting from him.
Yeah, it's anyone's guess what's going through his mind at that time. I mean, we see it at training so regularly though that it's only a game, we sort of just trust that it's going to work. So there's runs that he goes on, obviously we're trying to catch up with him and catch up with the game, but we just have trust that he's going to take it on. He's going to make the mistakes. We encourage him every game to go for it.
And, Zachy, are you just a little bit flat yourself this morning that you could have put together one of the all-time great games if you just had nailed a few shots early, mate? You could have had five and kicked five and had 30. You just laid off a few.
Oh, he did okay, Joe.
He did very well. But do you just think, mate, that was one that maybe slipped away that you could have had one of your all-time great games?
Yeah, the boys haven't even laughed. I couldn't kick past 30 metres and get over the line. But, it was nice getting a few shots off for the first time. But, I'll take the 4 points.
We're talking to Essendon gun, Zach Merritt. Now, Zach, I believe you're a big cricket fan and you would have grown up in the halcyon days of Australian cricket. Did you keep a keen interest on the World Cup and who was your favourite player growing up?
Yeah, I'm a massive cricket fan and growing up was, as you said, the golden era of cricket. So my favourite player was Michael Clarke growing up. I was really fond of him and the World Cup was awesome. I was up every night watching, which was tough when I had to get up for training, but I certainly got the first thing in my life.
How did you think about the ending of the World Cup? Can you believe it was decided by a boundary countback?
I was surprised. I don't think anyone knew what was going on, but I think it's a disappointing way for New Zealand to lose after being in World Cups two times in a row, but England obviously knew because they celebrated like crazy so nice.
They did indeed.
A couple of weeks ago, Zachy, you spent some time on the bench in the second quarter. I spoke to Dan Richardson. You said you often get headaches or in-game migraines, mate, and we're all feeling for you in that moment. Can you just explain how regular that is? I've never had a migraine, but apparently they're excruciating.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird thing that happens. Occasionally when I get a bit of whiplash or just a head knock of some degree, whether it be small or a large impact, it just sort of causes a bit of blurry vision and pins and needles occasionally around my mouth and hands. So it's a bit of a weird experience when I go through it, but it normally sort of goes away in 10 to 15 minutes. And it's just a frustrating time when you're on the bench knowing that you want to be able to help your teammate.
And last one, Zachy, before we let you go, mate. Always good winning on a Friday night. Means you've got the weekend to sit back and relax. What's your plan?
Yes,
what are you sort? Are you a guy that'll sit today and watch the footy? Will you go away? What's your plan this afternoon, tonight?
A couple of quiet ones.
Yeah, Andy McGrath's 21st birthday tonight, actually.
Woo-hoo!
So the boys are
luckily
all got invited to his birthday, so we'll get around and have a few beers together.
Well done.
And just enjoy the weekend.
And what did you get, Pigeon?
No, he's got everything he needs. He's just got a nice couple of hours. He's all sorted.
Much.
Well, enjoy that, Zach. Thank you for joining us, and happy birthday to your teammate over there, 21. It's a big birthday, Jay.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zach.
See you, boy. See you later.
Zach Merritt there. What did you do for your 21st, Joey?
I had a party. We had a big party on down on the Melbourne rowing squadron down on the Yarra River, the Melbourne Yacht Club's there. And we had, and I remember I was very excited because I was the same thing, 21 years old, just had all my crew, the young boys. But then I remember, without expecting it, a crew arrived, like Justin Peckett, Ozzie Jones, a few of the older boys all rocked up. And I remember thinking that was pretty cool that like, the boys made the effort, the older guys, to come to my 21st. And we had a great night. So it was really cool.
Can you remember yours, Jay? That was a while ago now.
No, a small party. Yeah, small party. had a good time. Good time all around.
Good. That's good. I'm glad that they're enjoying themselves and having a beer, because I think sometimes with the way that footies play, they don't celebrate enough and enjoy a win. You can still focus and do what you need to do next week and get ready for the game. They've got Gold Coast next week, but you can actually relax, enjoy each other's company, have that bond, and then rock up
Unwind, Monday, Joe.
Enjoy it, relax, then get back Monday, switch back on, get ready for the next week.
And not that anyone asked me, but I had my 21st down at the Vincent in Elwood Park there. So breakfast at Tiffany's theme. I was quite obsessed with Audrey Hepburn back then.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
There you go. Now, a week is a long time in footy, as we are always told, and on Tuesday, feels like it was longer ago than that, Alan Richardson, well, he departed from St Kilda after 126 games, 43 wins, 81 losses and 2 draws. Joey, you've been asked about this heavily as a St Kilda grade and the impact that it's had on the group. What's there to achieve now in the last 6 games for the Saints?
Oh, for this season, I think they've just got to continue to unearth some more talent. Dalton Langland's making his debut. There might be some other players they're going to give opportunities to, because I think this group need to find more young talent. They need to build a next core group of players that can play finals and have a sustainable success. And I think that's what they've got to try and keep unearthing. They've got a good little core bunch of youngsters that'll get more game time together. You know, we're seeing Caulfield and Clark play together, Wilkie in the back line, Marshall, and a young midfield and forward line. So they've just got to find some more talent, give some opportunities. And I think really it's an opportunity for Brett Ratten to, it's a little coaching audition, isn't it? He's got 6 weeks to put his hand up to say whether he's a legitimate contender to coach, whether it's St Kilda or another club.
I wonder whether St Kilda needs to rediscover a bit of a hard edge or more intensity. Like, I remember Joey being a younger reporter. Whenever I went to St Kilda room 2009, 2010, 2011, you're on eggshells because you had yourself, BJ, Ross around, Rui, of course. And I just always felt a bit edgy in that environment because it was always an intense sort of demanding environment. And being anywhere near your footy club or your rooms or your leaders, I always sort of got the feeling that was the case. You know, it's just, you're always a bit, you know, just a bit edgy.
I think all the good teams did. You think about the Geelong teams. I mean, you hear about the stories of Chapman and Stevie J
putting
going at each other. And the Hawks teams, I mean, Hodge and Mitchell and Lewis and Ruffy. And even the Sydney Swans. They were one of the best, the Swans. McVeigh and all those guys, you know, would really be demonstrative with each other. Because there's an element of, you're a tight group and you're all friends. But it's about the respect but we're here to win a premiership. Yep. We're not here to be good mates that all play footy together. We're here to do whatever it takes. That's the number one priority. So I think the good teams, you need to have that bit of edginess about you because...
They don't have that now. That's the point. I think it seems a bit... I go down around the team and I don't get that hard, ruthless edge. That's the difference. That's the comparison. Is that fair or not? Because the dominant story at the press conference was Richo hard enough on this group?
Yeah, and he spoke about the consistency of the playing group, wasn't it? And that probably comes to that sort of accountability. Were they strong enough in having a level of consistency week in, week out? We know that, you know, the group, Giz is a wonderful leader, but they probably haven't got a real strong core of senior. I mean, that's why Dan Hannery was brought to the club. There's still been a lot of conjecture about that, but it's to add that leadership into that club. And maybe they might find a few more players to bring in to add to that component because... Oh, that's why I was a big fan for Dan Hannebery. You know that I've said that on this show. It's because he came from a Sydney Swans culture that were very demanding and challenged each other to get the best out of their group. And they were so consistent. I mean, they haven't missed finals for 10 years. So that's probably something they can continue to look to add, whether it's with the coach or with the players they bring into the club.
And that's why you want to coach with that mentality. Is that right? To trickle down?
I'm not sure exactly what type of coach you want and who it is. You can't answer that. I mean, you just got to get the best available candidate that can really, for the key for the club now, whichever coach they get, it's got to be stability. He's got to be there for the long term. I mean, isn't it surprising that Alan Richardson finishes up as the second longest coach in St Kilda's history and he'd been there just under 6 years. So I think whatever coach St Kilda go down, they need a coach that can be there for 10 years and they need to build the playing group that can have sustainable success. That's what has probably lacked over the last period is a sustainable group and a coach that can last for a long term and really turn that culture of the club around.
Do you think Rui should be on the coach selection panel?
That's up to him.
They should definitely ask him.
They should definitely ask him, of course. Yeah. But it's up to him whether he wants to do it. I know if you, you know, working in the media, if he's going to be on that board, his name's always going to be associated with that coach, isn't it? You know, if it doesn't work out, or vice versa, it could be, you know, one of the great moves of Rui if he is on it and they get a coach. I don't know though. It's up to Rui. I actually haven't spoken to him about that yet. But
should Simon Lethlean be on it, given his relationship with Brad Scott?
Yeah, he should be. Yeah, of course he should
be. Does it compromise his selection on Brad Scott?
Well, I don't know how that would work. I would think maybe, I don't know, maybe when they do interview Brad Scott, does Lethlean step out of that process? No. I don't know.
Tricky.
It is tricky, and there are smarter people than me that will make those decisions, and Andrew Bassett will head it up, and he's one of the smartest people we know. So I'm sure whichever way the path they go down, they'll do it the best way they know how.
Grant Thomas has put his hand up for it. Have you seen that, Joe?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah. He wants to help the club.
He does. Now, we've been flagging the Monster Jam throughout the show. And if you head to triplem.com.au, you can register your details and let us know who and why you would who you would take and why. It's 5 tickets for you and a mate to go to the Monster Jam at Amy Park. Watch the entire show from a corporate box, food and drinks included. It's your night sorted. So head to triplem.com.au to register your details.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
It's time for pick one, Jay.
Yep. Try and give you a curly question, Sarah Jay, a real tough one. And Joey mocks him at times, you know.
Because sometimes you don't give some great ones. Other
times
you give some really good ones.
All right. What about this one? Essendon fans, who is better? Who would you rather in your team if you were going to poach one? Zach Merritt, the man we were just talking to, or Dylan Scheel? Who is a better midfielder out of the two, Sarah? Who are you taking?
Oh, well, it's hard if we've just spoken to Zach. I feel like we're a bit indebted to him now. But I'm going to have to go with Dylan Scheel by a whisker.
The pace?
Yeah, I think just that explosiveness. There's just something about him. But maybe it's that he's more eye-catching than Zach, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really wrestling with this one. I'm thinking, okay, St Kilda's midfield next year, you get to take one out of Essendon. You get to just take one for nothing, pay them the same. Who do you want? Oh, I do think Scheel, but I don't know if Scheel delivers enough. You're right, he does some great things, explosive.
He's flashy, isn't he? If he kicks straight up.
I'm going to be biased. We just had Zachy Merritt on the phone. Okay. He was great. I'm going to take Zach.
Is he got a better finishing?
Zach Merritt's definitely a better finisher than Scheel, where Scheel's got that ability to break out of contests and break away from stoppage, break lines. But, it's a good one. Jay, that's one of your good ones.
Lucky for Essendon, they don't have to choose. They got them both.
That's right.
Yeah, true. That's right.
What about, can I ask you a pick one, Sarah and Jay? And so we've heard Steve Hocking this week talk about that they want the game to have less tackling in it because that's all part of trying to open the game up. Now, obviously, as you know, with the work I do at Fremantle, I watch a lot of games behind the goals and watch a lot of vision, and I'm worried that the game will never be as open as we want it while the game exists the way it is, because everyone everyone now is faster, fitter, stronger, and everyone defends a lot better. So the ground can be 400 metres long, but you can still only kick the ball 50 or 55 metres at the most. So you only needed to defend about a 70 metre radius, where if there is a short kick, you can still defend. So the game is always going to be played in one third of the ground. Right, that's my take, unless something drastic eventually happens. I know the AFL tried little rules. They've tried the kick-ins and the manning the mark, 50-metre penalties. None of that's going to open the game. So if something dramatic has to happen, Jay, and these are the two scenarios.
Go on.
You either have to play in zones, so you might need two or three pairs of forwards to stay inside the 50 for the game.
Yep.
Or, my suggestion, you remove the two players from each team and you play 16v16 and that's the only way the game is going to be more open. If you had the choice, you had to vote for one. One's going to come in. Either 16v16 or two pairs of players have to stay inside the forward 50 at either end.
Yeah, I think I know starting positions would be a massive change for the game, but if that lengthened the field and reduced some of that congestion, I think I would be open to that. So just say, for example, you had to have four
players. But it's not just a starting position. You have to stay inside 50 because that's a starting position. I've seen they'll just start at the top of the 50 and then join in and be part of that congestion anyway. So they need to stay inside 50.
So, for example, you have to have three or four players in the front half of your ground at all times in the game.
Yep.
I think I'd be okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah, because as you said, all the players, all 36 players, are around the ball all the time, aren't they? And we see that with the GPS stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't mind if there are two pairs that have to stay inside. It'll become a skill in itself to be a pure inside 50 player where you can't leave the 50.
Yeah.
Imagine the heat could be like that, the players you could use in that role.
What would you need? Taller?
I still think it's we're talking about the DeGoeys and the Dustin Martins, the best players that can win one-on-one.
And they're the ones you love to watch.
1v1 in the air or on the ground. And imagine them, inside 50, can't go anywhere. It'd be pretty cool. But I think eventually, Jay, something like that's going to have to come in and people have to get their heads around it. Otherwise, get used to low scores.
Are the girls still playing 16-a-side?
Yes.
Yeah. So that works.
Yeah, it works for the women's
football. Yeah, I think I'd go with that one. Yep. Hey, my stomach is grumbling, which has me thinking, pick one, pizza or pasta. You can only have one of them for the rest of your life, Joe.
That is so hard for an Italiano like myself. I love both of them.
Super.
I'm a pizza man.
Pizza.
I could eat pizza every night for the rest of my life.
Jay?
It's a good one. One of my favourite foods is gnocchi. It's yummy. The absolute top of the tree for me. So I think...
Spaghetti marinara.
I don't think I could live my life without gnocchi occasionally. So I think I'd maybe go pasta. Yeah, you, Sarah?
Oh, it is so tough. I mean, pizza I feel like is more of like a... every kind of Friday night food. But when I really want to indulge, I just do love a beautiful bowl of pasta. I'm going to go with you, Jay. Pasta. Mm.
Hey, what would you do if you were the list manager at Collingwood, Joey? Like, they've got out of contract at the end of next year, Jordy Degawi, probably $1 million player. Brody Grundy, probably $1 million player. Darcy Moore, having his best season.
Close to him. Wouldn't get a million, but close.
Yeah, potential All-Australian centre-half back. If Ned Guy, Collingwood's list manager, cannot lose one player
out of those three, or their whole team
on the list to keep those three, they should build a bronze statue of him at the front of Collingwood, because it would be the greatest achievement of all time.
Because Pendlebury's on obviously good money. Trelaw, Sidebottom,
Adams.
So you have to pay Stevenson soon.
I reckon they have to lose one. Jamie Elliott could be one. He's unrestricted free agent. He's out of the team again. Hasn't had a run at it over the past couple of years. So he's possible one. If someone offers him a 3-year deal, I don't reckon he's going to get that at Collingwood. So I reckon he's probably vulnerable. But if you had to lose one from that Collingwood list, who would it be for you? If they're going to try and keep Degoe, keep Grundy, keep Moore, how do they free up some space?
Maybe Dane Beams is the one that I don't think fits into that midfield and hasn't necessarily made their midfield better.
Mm.
So he'd be on big money, wouldn't he, Dane Beams?
I think his first year was maybe 400, 450.
Okay.
So it wasn't huge money because they simply didn't have it.
It's hard. That's a hard one. You can't lose Grundy, Degoe or Darcy Moore. It's got to be one of the midfielders. So, I mean, Penner and Sidebottom are getting on in age. Do you, you know,
they'll be.
I'm not Penner. Okay, I should have gone. I knew I'd just third J up if
sacred,
I said Penner.
No,
it's going to play today. I think going to play
that's
today.
Pretty amazing.
One of the mids I'd have to free up to. That they're the ones. They've got enough midfielders.
Yeah.
All right.
Good one.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony, fake.
I'm going to kick it off. Now, most of us have Instagram, and you may have noticed a change that's happened in the last 24 to 48 hours, Joey.
Only took me till last night until my wife told me what happened. I didn't realise.
Now you can't see how many likes a photo has.
Yep, I don't mind that.
And it has sent the Instagram influencers into meltdown. Well, give me a spell. You're not that important. Just put your photos up for yourself, would you?
Give me a spell.
Give
me a spell, I've got one. But we want to touch on another one, Sarah, that you and I just looked at each other in the ad break. We were just looking at Instagram, and Kendall Jenner came up on my Instagram. And we were talking about Kendall Jenner and the Kardashians.
Yes.
And Sarah, Jay Clark reckons he does not know anything about the Kardashians, never heard of Kendall Jenner.
Who's Kendall?
Who's Kendall? Who are the Kardashians? Ooh. Give me a spell. You were lying through your teeth if you think you do not know who the Kardashians are who Kendall Jenner is and what they do.
I knew one of them goes out with Ben Simmons, and I could probably identify her, but I've got no idea who Kendall Jenner is, why people talk about her.
And you reckon you've never heard of Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner either?
I've heard the name, but I just don't know what.
You asked why her name was Jenner and not Kardashian. Give me a spell.
I've never watched. Do you watch?
No, I don't watch it. You don't need to watch the Kardashians to know who they are and who they are.
I don't read about it. I saw an article with a Kardashian headline. I go to the next. I got enough to read, Joey,
absorb
the latest and greatest about the Kardashian family. I'm sure they're
I'm still not
people.
Buying it.
Give me a spell. But I wanted to give me a spell before we just had that chat. Yesterday, I went to a cafe in South Melbourne, and there was this massive line. I'll show you guys. I took some photos up the street, around the corner, for 200 metres long. You would have thought one of the Kardashians was at this place in South Melbourne.
What do they do?
They're just celebrities, Jay. Let's move on from it. You know who the Kardashians are. Anyway, so I've asked the guy at the cafe, I said, what is going on? There's something massive going on across the road. What is it? He said it was a warehouse sale to buy those takeaway coffee mug things.
No.
What?
Give me a spell. They were lined up around the, I'll show you the photo, around the corner and down the street because it was a warehouse. They were having it, that opening of a warehouse for those coffee mug things that everyone bought. You know those?
Keep cups.
What are they called?
Keep cups.
That's what he said, a keep cup.
They're everywhere.
They're all lining up to buy. I don't know.
Do these have gold in them or something?
I don't know. But the line was like 200 metres long.
Maybe Kendall Jenner
was
signing
the keep cup. Give me a spell. Who would line up to go and buy a keep cup?
Not me.
Anyway, that was I was staggered when I saw that yesterday.
Maybe that was cup price.
I just wanted to get that off my chest. That's what give me a spell is all about.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Now, I want to give me a spell. The president of the Port Adelaide Football Club. Ooh. I was staggered. Was it yesterday or the day before where he said that Michael Voss should focus on his job rather than going or applying for the Carlton position? Give me a spell, Koshy. You've got to be on the same page about this stuff. Vossie either goes with the club's blessing or he doesn't. So Hinkley says it's fine, yet the president says, oh, come on, mate, focus on your job, do that at the end of the season. Give me a spell, Koshy.
Give me a spell, Koshy.
Support you. Like, I think Vossie's done a good job at Port.
And I think he's more than capable of still doing his job as a Port Adelaide midfield coach and go and just have a coffee with Carlton about a potential job next year. Like, seriously, to try and say that he's not doing his or needs to focus on his job and not consider he's developing himself and going further in his career. Come on, Koshy, give us a spell.
It hasn't been a great week for Port Adelaide, has it? Like, the Lachie Neale saga and their terrorising of him, now this sort of
it's going to be interesting to see today what happens at the MCG against Richmond.
Yeah.
Could go one way or the other. They could come out and beat Richmond, or there's every chance they get beaten by 50 points and it falls apart.
You know, the Tigers haven't beaten Port at the MCG since 1998. And on that day, Richo kicked 4-7. So there you go.
That changes today. What happens with Dusty Martin, Joey?
Sutcliffe will go to him. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see whether they apply the same sort of tactics. I think you've got to niggle Dustin. We've seen that you can get under his skin a little bit, but now he's got the cavalry back, Dusty. He can just do his thing. He'll take Sutcliffe forward, and he'll play forward, I think, if he gets Cam Sutcliffe.
You think Dusty could club him?
Nah, he won't do that. Dusty's nut.
He's half a chance.
Nah, he won't. Anyway, we've only got a minute or so to go, so we always need to finish with
the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
Our little Dead Set Legend of the Week. And she is little Jay, little Sarah Ollie.
Oh,
our Dead
guys.
Set Legend. It's your last show. You've been filling in while Emma Friedman's been away. It's been a pleasure having you hosting the show, right, filling in for Emma. Right. You've brought a breath of fresh air to the show. You've
putting
livened
up
us up. Big smile on your face every morning when Jay or I are a bit tired or slightly hungover or whatever it is. You've been excellent. We've loved having you on the show. Yeah. And we're hopefully you're not lost to Triple M because you've been really wonderful to have on the show. Jay?
That we thank you greatly.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Guys. Now, very nice.
If you had to pick your best teammate of the two of
Yes, the final pick one of the show.
Well, you know what, Jay? You've disgraced yourself today with the Jenner Kardashian comments, so I'm going to have to go with Joey.
Yeah.
The people in the car, they know what I'm talking about. They don't listen or read that tripe either.
They do too,
everyone,
Jay.
Everyone
you're
does.
Reading so it as well.
Everyone does. But no, unfortunately, Sarah, it's come to an end, but hopefully you're not lost to Triple M, and Emma's back next week, so
yes.
Great to have Emma back. We can ask all about motherhood for her.
Yes, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun coming in here, and if Emma has another bub, I'll come back on. More than happy to do that. It's been so much fun. But that's all from us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends for today.